musicians. And while we're standing, let's turn to Psalms chapter 18. The chief musician, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. Pray that you speak to us tonight, even through such lips as mine, that you would just let your word come forth and get me and my thoughts out of the way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May you take your seats. So, the Lord is my rock. Amen. We know what a rock is, and the Word of God, and my fortress, the place that I, my castle, my, you know, and we can understand a fort. You can go to Fort Snelling, you know, a place of defense. My deliverer, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. Ah, you know what a buckler is? Small shield used in combat. So that's a buckler. The horn of my salvation, my high tower. So, the horn of my salvation. So we're going to look at the horn of my salvation tonight through the scriptures, because it's always been a little bit of a puzzle to me about the horn. What's the horn mean? What is a horn? Because we can only relate to things that we know, and for most of us, a horn is something on a, you know, in the middle of a steering wheel, and you press it to try and get people out of the way. Okay? But we're talking about a different kind of horn here. And it's important to us, maybe not real important to us, but it's kind of important to us because this is a description of God that David says. And so there's a, if you want to understand what David is seeing, he's trying to describe in a various number of ways what God is meaning to him at that point. And that's why he's saying, you know, my rock and my fortress. Because I can't just say my rock, because that doesn't cover everything that I'm thinking about. He's my fortress, because that covers something else of what I'm thinking about. And so, because you don't have the vocabulary in one word to describe everything about this. And he's trying to say, this is what you mean to me at this moment. And part of what you mean to me is my horn. But it's more important than that to say this is just David's description. It was important enough to God to put in the Bible and say, yeah, you know what? I like that. I like what David said about me there. I like it well enough. I want to share it with people. You know, it's like I don't know, we have a little resume and we get some comments from a letter of recommendation and we say, hey, this is what I am. You know, and this, if you like, this is God's resume here. Okay? So when you're in trouble, when you're in a down situation, when the sorrows of hell can pass you about, you can look for someone to help you out. And you can look for a different resumes of different people and different references to say, okay, well, we can go to a psychologist and he can give you his letters of reference and you can go to alcohol or to drugs and they can give you their testimonies. Or you can say, you can go to the Bible and this is the testimony that God says, this is what I can be for you if you trust me. This is what I can do for you if you follow me in faith, because this is what I have done for others. And so when we're looking at what he's done for others, that he can do for us, this is not what God will do for us. This is his reference, you know, of what he will do for us. Because we're not David. This is what he did for David. But he'll do similar things for you. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that reference to him being the horn, well, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Because it's in the New Testament as well. Okay, and this is in the prophecy that Zacharias gives when his mouth was opened, when John was born. And he says, verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And that horn of salvation that was raised up was Jesus. And so we're also talking about some of the characteristics of Jesus when we're talking about this. And brothers and sisters, one of the important things that we should realize is that whenever we're talking about the characteristics of Jesus Christ, we are also talking about the characteristics that God wants us to express in the world through expressing his spirit. Okay? And so we're not just reading about God and who he is and what he can do for you. We're also reading about Jesus and how he was expressed himself in the world. And then we're also reading about ourselves and how God says, this is the path that I have for you to tread. This is the path that I have for you to walk in this world and to bring people the very presence of God in your life. And you stand in front of them. And you don't stand in front of them and say, I'm Jesus, you better listen to me. That wasn't how Jesus was. But you stand in front of them and you say, I'm Jesus, how can I serve you? How can I make your life better? How can I bring a touch from the Almighty God into your life to help you through this life and to get you one step closer? How can I be a reference for God when you're going through trouble and telling people what God has done for me? You know, what has God done for me? Amen. So, the horn of our salvation. So, when are horns first mentioned in the Bible? Someone have a guess. Maybe you know. Genesis? Seem good? Fun? It's likely. Okay. Who can think of a place in Genesis with horns? Trying to keep you all awake because it's Wednesday. Fun? Okay. All right. You're going to kick yourselves. Well, I hope you kick yourself if you're asleep and you kick yourself awake. Genesis 22, Abraham. Okay? The first time that horns are mentioned in the Bible. All right? Yeah. I was talking to Brother Chris Coffey, and we were talking about this. Knowing the voice of God. How well do you know the voice of God? Oh, that's such a vital, vital, vital question. Not the voice of God is saying the voice of God in the tapes, but the voice of God through the Bible, through the tapes, through the voice of a pastor, through the voice of a minister, the voice of God speaking to you in your prayer closet, the voice of God talking to you and telling you to do something, and you know that it's the voice of God. Okay? Because God came down. And he spoke to Abraham, you know? And he spoke to Nate. And he said, Nate, take your son, Micah, who you love, okay? Go and take him up to the Northwoods. There's a lake there that I'll show you when I'm out there. When you get out there, just build an altar and just offer him in sacrifice to me. You got that, Nate? Okay. How well would you know the voice of God to say, I will ignore everything, all the evidence that's to the contrary of an instruction like that, because that's the voice of God to me? Okay. So we really need to get down and know the voice of God. Okay, so Abraham knew the voice of God well enough that he says, even if I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense, I know that was the voice of God and I will obey it. That's, by the way, Nate, don't tell your wife you're about to do this, because, you know. So, but he also had the faith that he said, I know the voice. Paradox is an amazing thing. Life is full of paradox. God said, this boy will be where I will call your seed. Now go and kill him. And Abraham held those two contradictory thoughts, the human expression, in his heart at the same time. And he said, I and the lad will go, and I and the lad will come back. Okay? So he didn't know how it would figure out, but he had faith. But, oh, interesting, so interesting. They came to the place that God had, this is verse 9 of chapter 22, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son. Hey, Dad, what are you doing? Just obey me, son. God told me to do this. Okay? Laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Humanly, that's a very disturbing thought. Okay? That he had every intention in his heart. He was not faking this. He was about to offer his son in sacrifice to God because he heard the voice of God. Okay? And some of us have problems with doing, you know, little things that we think God tells us. But this is why Abraham was the father of faith. And we follow after that. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And that's the first time that horns are mentioned in the Bible. Isn't that incredible? Because it's a picture of Jesus Christ. The ram caught in the thickets. The power of the ram is in the horns. Okay? So the horns represent power that's in action in the world. It's not potential power, it's power that is in action, it's power that's in motion, it's a projection of something in the world. Okay? There's your horns. It's a power. And so God took the power of the ram and tangled it up in the thicket in order that the ram was powerless before at the time of sacrifice. And you can see that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny and the power. Think not that I could call to my Father and he'd presently send me 10 legions of angels. But he allowed that power to be tangled up in the sin of this world and said, not my will, but thy will, Father. Okay? And so there's something in there that the horns are the projection of the will of the person. There's something in that. I've only just started studying it. It's really interesting. So where do we find? And we'll find, how do we get our will, our horns, our power, the things that we do that affect others, how do we get that under control and in the hands of Jesus? Amen. So, now here's a really interesting one, because your power, what's the main power that a human being has? You can say it, Susanna. Their will. How do we put our will into action in this world? What's the main way we do it? Their words. That's what I thought you said. So that's why. Their words. The tongue is a power no man can tame. All right? That's in James. Okay? But, okay, so the words, the sound that goes into the world. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 6. That's really interesting here. Okay. So we're going to take a little detour into trumpets. Okay? Joshua chapter 6, verse 12. Okay. Well, let's start at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the arms of the ark of the Lord. And Joshua rose, this is verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning. And the priests took up the ark of God, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on, and blowing with the trumpets. And so there's, okay, so. Now, we're going to turn just, this is, you know there are two types of trumpets in the Bible. I'm sure there may be more, but there are at least two types of trumpets that the children of Israel had access to. Fascinating. Okay, the other one, we find in Numbers chapter 10. So let's just go turn back to Numbers chapter 10. Okay. And the Lord, this is verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for calling the assembly and for journeying of camps. And they shall blow with them, and all the assembly shall gather themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and so on and so on. Gives the instructions. Now that word is translated. There are two different words there. One is shofar, which is the ram's trumpets, and the other one I didn't write down, so I don't remember it. Okay? But if you go through the Bible and you see the priests blew the silver trumpets, the people blew the ram's horns, the shofars, those trumpets. So when Amos says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Okay. Watchmen, blow your trumpet. That's speaking of the shofars. That's speaking of the ram's horns trumpets. But when it talks about the priests blew their trumpets and the trumpets of the Lord, and so there's a heavenly voice that's a silver trumpet, but there's an earthly voice, and that's the ram's trumpet. Okay? So, yeah, that's really interesting. So Joshua says, this is the way we're going to go into battle. This is the way we're going to overcome. This is the way to victory. By blowing through the trumpets, blowing the horns. Well, even today, a horn, you know, bah, bah, that's the root of the word and why we call it a horn. Because it goes back to the horns that we have on the animals, which we don't think of, because I think the most farmy folk among us keep chickens. So, right, Brother David? I don't think we've got any goats in the congregation. Trust in the Lord for that, okay? So, we don't naturally think of animal horns, but this is what this is talking about. The power that, it's the only power that an animal that isn't carnivorous, like a lion, has its claws and it has its teeth. But a sheep only has the horns. Okay? An ox has the horns. So this is the power that God has given to those that are otherwise defenseless. Gideon. He gave everyone a light. He gave everyone a pitcher to hide the light in. And he gave everyone a trumpet and said, this is how we are going to win, with a trumpet. What kind of trumpet? It wasn't the silver trumpet. It was the trumpets, the shofars made of horn. Okay? So this horn, this voice, this way of projecting your will into this world, this power, is how you win the victory. Okay? What's that? The spoken word. And now we're right back in a circle to, in the beginning, God spake, and things came into existence. So if you want to get the power of your will into existence to affect what's going on, speak. It's the trumpet that God has given you. It's the horn. Okay? We get to some very interesting... Well... Okay, I'm going to... Yeah.
So, around Jericho...
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. They were voicing God's will.
Right.
They were doing that in obedience.
They were doing that in obedience.
The power of his word and the power of his...
Through the... Yeah.
Crumbled walls of city.
Yeah. Okay. So for those online, Brother Don just said that when they walked around Jericho, when they blew the horns, okay, when they blew the trumpets, and the walls crumbled, that was in the power of their voice in obedience to God's will, because God had told them to do that. So what are the walled cities that you have in your life that you need to crumble? How do you get them to crumble? Okay? And I'm going to say, yeah, that's right. Sister Mary just said, speak. Because, and I hope you understand, this is not saying don't pray. All right? This is not saying don't seek the Lord. It's not saying don't fast. It's not saying don't read your Bible. But it's saying a combination of all of that. How do you project that faith into the world is not in prayer. It's in speech. You understand? Okay, I hope everyone understands. I'm not saying stop praying, start just speaking, because you have to have the will of God, and you have to have, you know, you're in that channel. Because you can speak all you like, and it's going to mean nothing. Okay? And we'll get into that in a minute. I got a beautiful one for you, Brother Don. You really like that. Okay? You can speak all you like, it will mean nothing. But if you have heard, and if you're in the right channel, and if you're walking in obedience, then you speak. When God has told you to speak, then the walls crumble. And that you remember, this isn't just, hey, we're going to go up, we're going to go round, we're just going to blow the horns, and the walls will fall down. This is very specific. Walk around it 7 days. Seventh day, walk around it seven times. Interesting. One of those was a Sabbath. Yeah? Okay, everyone got up on the Sabbath. So, I don't know if it says consecutive. How it came to pass on the seventh day, so the second day, and so they did 6 days. I'm going to say it's consecutive. But we can study that out, Brother Don. It's good talking the scriptures with you. But you understand what I mean. If you hear the word of God and follow those directions... Even if he says, go march on the Sabbath, and you're like, no, I'm not marching on the Sabbath. Okay? No, I'm not going to sacrifice my son. Okay? I'm going to follow the word of God wherever it takes me, but I better be sure that it's the word of God. All right. We've got on to that. Freedom. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Leviticus 25. Because once you start getting into this, it just, yeah, Brother Don, you're right, it does open up. All right. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years to thee. This is verse 8. And 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet to sound throughout the land. There are two words for trumpet. One is the silver trumpet of the priests. One is the shofar. Okay, which trumpet was this one? I know, because I've been doing the studying. I'm going to tell you. It's the shofar. Okay? This is the shofar being blown by common people throughout the land to sound freedom. There's a video that I saw, it's doing the rounds on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is about my only social media platform. There's this great big guy. He's 24, 25 years old. And he comes up to this this other guy who's sitting down, and he taps him on the shoulder. He says, "Do you remember me?" And he says, "No, I have no idea how." He says, "In 1997, okay, you saved the life of a 5-year-old who was drowning in a swimming pool. He's a fireman or an EMT." And he said, "I'm that guy." And he said, "I've dreamt about this time, about meeting you, because I owe my life to you. And not just my life, there's a little 5-year-old girl who is alive today because of you. You see, and all that experience." And I thought, man, what will it be if you could bring... And the guy said, "You know, I was just doing my job." Okay? If you could just bring one person to the Lord, and they come up to you and they say, "You know what? Back there, you saved my life, and not just my life. And look at the effect, the ripple that it has." Because we are called to proclaim the freedom. Okay? It's not for the priests to go and blow the silver trumpets. That freedom doesn't come from heaven. That freedom, or rather, it isn't declared from heaven. That freedom is declared here on the earth. The trumpets that blow are the horn trumpets, the shofars. That means we have the power. It's our horns that should declare this. Go out and share the good news. So who have you brought? Who have you plucked out from sin, drowning in a, you know, and doesn't know where they're at, and brought to land, and you don't need to worry about them, just leave them in God's hands. But let's pluck them out. You never know where it will end up. So the horn is battle, the horn is victory, the horn is freedom. And a warning, Ezekiel 33. So all of these things are wrapped up in the Lord is my, the horn of my salvation. Okay? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, speak unto the children of Israel, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of the coasts and set him for their watchman, if he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword shall come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and the sword come, and any person among them is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, have I set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore they shall hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. And thou shalt hear the word at my mouth." You understand? The trumpet. Okay? And speaking what? Not what he's blowing up through himself, but someone empty and ready that the voice of God can sound through them. Okay? Now, you know people that have done a lot of damage by going out and being a trumpet and warning people by, you know, should get Uncle Paul here to do a demo. You know, just come up and just blow the trumpet right into someone's ear. Okay? How would that make you feel? Warned or very annoyed? You know? Mm-hmm. And there are lots, I'm sure we could all talk about experiences that we've had like that. What's that? That's people sounding their own trumpet because they're not in tune with God. Okay? But that trumpet that's empty and it says, I will take my words and you will speak them. And that's the warning that we want to give. And that, again, it's not the priestly trumpet. It's the horn, the shofar. It's for all of us to put our power into this. Amen. So, horns. So that's trumpets for right now. Okay? Horns are action as well, and we can see that in Daniel chapter 8. And verse 5 it says, and as I was considering, and you can read the whole thing, I'm just going to abbreviate here. A he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close to the ram, and he was moved with choler against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down on the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Wherefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And so that's the will of Alexander the Great making itself known on the earth, and the powers clashing against each other. So in action, in movement, not just sitting there doing nothing. So now I've got another scripture here, but I don't know why I wrote it down. So I'm just going to turn to it. See why I wrote it down. Yeah. Okay. So we're just horns. Horns are also anointing. Okay? So that's Samuel 16. First Samuel 16, yes. And it's very interesting looking at this. We'll see this in a minute. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided me a king among his sons. Now that's the same word, horn, that we've been going out throughout, okay? But interestingly, Saul was not anointed with a horn of oil, but a vial of oil. Only David and Solomon are recorded in the Bible as having been anointed with a horn of oil. And there are two kings that are anointed with vials of oil, which is Saul and Jehu, when Elisha sends a young man to break a box of oil over his head and then run away. So it's really interesting because there, that horn of oil is symbolic of coming into the man after God's own heart and the millennium, the fullness of the oil, the fullness of the anointing. And so a horn of oil is there for us as well. If we can get through the Saul phase, where we're serving God in our body, to the David space, where we're serving God with our heart and being a man after God's own heart. Okay? Saul is saved, but his problem was, how many know what Saul's problem was? Disobedient, but why? Listening to the people, listening to those around him rather than listening to God. Now, I heard the voice of the people persuaded me. Okay? So, what people are you letting persuade you out of the directions of God? That's the difference between a Saul and a David. Okay. So, let's turn to Psalms 92. Because we want to get into going from the horn, God's horn, to our horn. Okay. Verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, then all the workers of iniquity do flourish. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall also see my desire upon mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that spring up against me. Now we've gone from God's horn to my horn. And what that is now, okay, is that God above us, God with us, God in us. Because my horn and Jesus' horn, that power, that will, should be the same. Okay, except now it's expressed in me. All right. The horn of a unicorn. Well, that goes back to Numbers 23. Can't read my own writing. And this is Balaam's parable. Okay. Verse 20. Let's start at verse 18. And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is his God, is with him, and with the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel, according to the time that it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? So, my horn shall be as the horn of a unicorn, is my horn shall be as the horn of God. And what's the horn of God? It's the strength, it's the will, it's the mighty hand that he had when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's the signs and the wonders. And I will show my glory on Pharaoh. I will be seen to be glorious in the earth. I will see to it that there is no earthly kingdom, there is no earthly power that can be more powerful than me. Okay? Brothers and sisters, if you can believe it, that is where we are heading. Okay? Because he has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign with him on the earth. Okay? So that's our direction, that we are to be like God. Now, that doesn't mean we take that power and we, like a trumpet in someone's ear, Ah, Peter, I'm going to be like God. You should be listening to me, really, because, you know, you're just looking at God right here. There's something wrong with that attitude. But it's an emptying out and saying, like David, okay, he will exalt me to that position. I will be like God. Yeah. So how do we do that? Well, Exodus 27. And for those of you who have been doing the Bible study on the tabernacle, this is where this thought really came from. Okay? Now, thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, the height shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be the same. Thou shalt overlay it with brass. So the altar had horns on it. Okay, the altar of sacrifice had horns on it, because that's the altar in the in the courtyard of the tabernacle, the big one, where they brought the sacrifices to be burnt, to be slaughtered. Okay, but there's another altar. There are 3 altars in the tabernacle. Okay, there's one in the outer court, which is for the offering. There's one in the inner court, which is for incense, which is prayer. And there's one in the holy place, which is the Ark of the Covenant. They all have blood put on them in their own time. Okay? So let's just look at Exodus 30. And this is the altar of incense. It says, and thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be. 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be the same. Okay? So, now, the wood and the gold represent God in man. Man in God's service. Okay? The wood and the brass represent man in judgment. So you go through the judgment before you go into God's service. And then when you get onto the inside, it's the very presence of God. But let's have a look here in chapter 29. Okay? Particular instructions. All right? And it says, thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the altar, before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And so there you have it, that the horns have a memorial of blood put on them, very particularly. Okay? And so now what we're saying is, that service to God, that offering to God, that judgment that we take upon us, the will that we have to come and bring an offering and say, Lord, in my flesh is no good thing, but let it be of service to you, has to be covered with blood. It has to be under the blood, for it to be acceptable to God. Okay? But it's more than that. All right? Let's turn to, over the page, the incense altar. Okay? It's even more than that. Verse 10. It says, and Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it. This is on the horns of the incense altar. Once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements, once a year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It's most holy to the Lord. And so you want your prayer life to be acceptable to God. The will that you have to go into your prayer life needs to be covered with the blood. Everything that you do in your body and in your spirit, willfully of your own, Father, not my will, but thine, that was Jesus' will, surrendering his will. It's a mystery here. But the horns, the power to do things. You want power in prayer? Get it under the blood. You want power in your sacrifices? Get it under the blood. You want power to have your sin forgiven? under the blood. Okay? And the horns also have power to keep us on the altar. And that's Psalms 118. God is the Lord, which has showed us the light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Okay? So where do we keep our sacrifice? Bound before God. Because just like with Joshua, it took 7 days. Alright? Of doing what God said. To get the victory. You have to stay there. Okay? And then lastly, 1 Kings chapter 1. Oh, you're already thinking, yeah. You're way ahead of me, Brother Don. As usual. I get something and I'm all excited about that. Like, Brother Don, I just saw this. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know that. Like, oh, one day I'll come up with something you don't know about, but it hasn't happened yet. So, the altar, the place of refuge. And Adonijah feared, this is verse 50. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and rose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. I'm staying here. I've done something wrong. I am worthy of death. He knew he was going to die for what he did. You know what Adonijah did? He declared himself king without David's permission. And historically, what that usually led to is a bloodbath with all the other sons of the king, because you get all the other claimants to the throne out of the way so no rebellion can take place around any particular person. Okay? Yeah. Do you want to come up? Come up, Brother Don, if you want. Okay. So, he says, here I am. I'm worthy of death. And I know I'm worthy of death. I know you're going to kill me. Okay? And you can see, let's just read on. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And so there he is, and he's in front of the altar, and he's saying, he's laying hold of the altar, and he's saying, this is the place. This is the place, King Solomon, where you come when you've sinned and you know that you're worthy of death before God, and you come and you bring that sacrificial and you get the forgiveness of God. And so I'm going to hold on to this place and say, God forgive you, and I'm going to stay in the place of God's forgiveness and God's justice put on to somebody else. You understand? That's the brass altar. That's the place of God's justice. But the place of God's justice isn't where you die. It's the place where someone dies for you. And he says, I'm going to stay in this place until you promise that you're not going to slay me. Because here's where God has mercy. All right? And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall on the earth. But if wickedness be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, they brought him down from the altar. He came and bowed himself to King Solomon. So we're going to look at a few things just real quick. Because horns, this is the power that we have. We have an altar. We have the horns that we can hold on to. We have the blood. Okay? But if you take that in the wrong way, if you lay claim on it without the right approach, you bring death, not life. Okay? And so we can read in the next chapter. In verse 28. It says, and tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and caught hold on the horns of the altar, And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. And Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall on him. And Benaniah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, thus saith the king, come forth. And he said, nay, but I will die in here. And Benaniah brought the king word again, saying, thus saith Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, for thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. And their blood shall therefore return to the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, upon his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaniah the son of Jehoiada went up, and fell upon him, and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And so there's a man, he claimed that same sanctuary, but he didn't claim it with innocence. Okay? And so there's a way for us to claim that sanctuary guilty. You see? So make sure your sins have gone before you and are properly covered with the blood. Because if you're only claiming coverage for some sins, but hiding others from God and saying, I don't have to repent for this, you'll bring death. Then, again, horns under your own will. 2 Chronicles 18. So Jehoshaphat and Ahab get together. Okay. And the king of Israel, we know the story. The king of Israel gathered the prophets. The prophet said, go up to the point where Zedekiah, verse 10, Zedekiah, the son of Chianah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shall thou push Syria till thou be consumed. Okay. And so there's a man saying, well, his symbol was all wrong. Horns are the judgment of God. Okay, there's something in the iron. It's interesting. There's no iron in the tabernacle. There is iron in the temple. Okay, the sky is made of iron. Iron is represented as the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was the justice or the judgment that God brought against the children of Israel. I'm getting a bit distracted. Okay. The horns of iron, he said, you'll have so much power. You'll be able to bring the judgment of God onto them. But he hadn't heard the word of God. He just got enthusiastic, and in his own power, he brought out these powerful horns of iron. And said, this is what you'll push them back with. And he smote Micah and said, which way did the Spirit of God go from me to speak to you? And Micah said, you will know. You will know in the day when you go into your bedroom to hide yourself. You know where it went. And so be careful to speak only what God tells you to speak. Okay? Because if you speak in your own power and it's not the Spirit of God, you will know that it wasn't the Spirit of God. One day when you go into your inner chamber, because doing that, using the horn in its own power, brings about death. But we have an altar. We have horns. We have horns on the altar under the blood. And he will exalt our horns, the power that he's placed in us, in the world, under his blood, the power of our prayers that he wants to exalt. Not to say, oh, Don, I'm going to make you powerful. Oh, Jesse, you're going to be such a man of power and people will look at you. But he said, I will exalt your horn like the horn of God. And then just like that fireman who pulled that five-year-old, he said, I was just doing my job. And to that fireman, he was just doing his job. But to that kid he saved, that was his life. That was every relationship that he had. That was every job he had. That was the daughter that he had. That was the... You see? And that's what we're, that's where we want to be. We want to give people life. Not so we can say, oh yeah, sure, I gave you life, kid. You know, be happy if you got a job, you know, you can maybe give me a kickback, take 10%, obviously. It's like, no, I'm just doing my job. I'm just here to do the things that I'm told to do. You see? Let's bring the power of our will under the power of the blood and then project that into the world, not in our own will, but under the blood to say, Jesus Christ is here for you. He's the rock of my salvation. He's my fortress. He's my horn. I'm the reference that you need for Jesus Christ in this world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love, your blessings. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, if I've said anything that's not of you, may it come to your light. Lord, the words that you've said, may it sink down and just open up our hearts to something more of you, a little bit more, a little bit closer. Lord, that we could be like that fireman, just doing our job, but speaking the words of life to people and changing their lives. Not to glorify us, but to glorify you. Not to be powerful in this world, but to see you powerful in this world. Not to have our own will pushing around, but to have your will pushing around. Pushing us around, Lord, that we can be effective for you in this day. Give us courage to stand as David stood. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.